Welcome to Love It or Hate It, You Gotta Love
It. Podcast.
It's the podcast. With host. Me, I'm the host.
I'm with Quentin. Host. Now with host.
Yeah, I sort of forgot how it even started. It's been so long.
It's been ages.
We're talking about Moonstruck, which I think Enoch will love, and Home Alone 4, which Enoch thinks I'll hate. It's Love It or Hate It, You Gotta Love
It. Podcast.
Like we said in our little intro, I'm your host, Quentin. I like movies. This is your guest, Enoch.
Hello.
He doesn't like movies very much, and we give each other movies that the other will hate or love, hopefully.
I like movies when they are, instead, sports.
Well, that's not a movie.
Well, if you want to like movies, make them be sports. And then they'll be great. That's my favorite kind of movie, is instead a sporting event.
30 for 30?
Those are
or just like raw sport?
I prefer raw. I prefer the uncut. but I'll take what I can get. I recently was very disappointed. I was talking with Rachel about this. I went on Hulu and I searched sports and almost nothing popped up. I was like, don't they have sports on here? Like, there's got to be like something.
I feel like they have a bunch of ads where they say, oh, we have sports.
Please. Oh, that's like Hulu Live. Subscribe to that's it. Like the... You can watch like NFL. Yeah, I'm like, I want some knockoff 30 for 30s. Some 15
basic.
For 15s. 3 for 3s. I don't care. Some sort of, you know, whatever. Sports, dude. That's what I want. There's not very many going on right now, and soon they're coming back, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, there's only your least favorite sport, which is basketball. Is that right?
I like basketball, but yeah, I guess technically it's least favorite of the ones that I watch, for sure. I don't watch hockey. But football's going on, and it's like big football, but it's also not during the week or anything, so there's just playoff football on the weekends. That's it. No NASCAR. Boxing took a few weeks off. Baseball's obviously off right now. I mean, it's hard out there.
It's hard times for living in.
I mean, that's the hardest thing we're dealing with right now, for sure, is that it's not baseball season. All right, the podcast. Love it or hate it, you gotta love it.
Moonstruck. Elena, our last guest, which was like, I don't know, like three, four weeks ago now, she gave us a prompt, which was infidelity, and I chose Moonstruck for you to love.
Mm-hmm. And
it contains that.
It does. Very dramatically, but it's got a lot of it actually.
Yeah.
It might be all it's about.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a more fitting one.
Yeah, it very much fits the prompt of infidelity. This happens a lot. Okay, we'll talk about it. Moonstruck, the movie, the film starring Nicolas Cage.
Prime era Nick Cage.
Is this prime era?
Like
where is this in relation to Raising Arizona?
I think it's the same year.
Okay. But I was also curious, where is his profile at this point? Is he famous? Was it like, oh, holy smokes, Raising Arizona, that's the Nicolas Cage movie? Or was it like, whoa, there's this guy, Nicolas Cage, in Raising Arizona, he's great. Like, was he a known commodity already? I don't know.
I think he was getting more famous as it was going on, but 1987 was like definitely a big year for him.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure because... You said getting more famous. He's one of those people that kind of only gets more famous. Does that mean, like he?
Right. Yeah.
I guess it's technically peaked, but as like one of the most famous people in the world, probably. but like, it just kept going up, and it went up so much that it was like, can you believe that incredibly famous person did this, and it would be a bad movie or a not famous movie? But it was never that he was any less. Famous somehow. Like, he's not like Val Kilmer, who like has lost some of his fame and is like does like weirdo like straight to DVD movies. Nicolas Cage does the same goofball stuff, but it's still just as famous. I don't know how it worked.
I think it's because he does pretty much everything that comes across his desk, it appears.
He's cool.
Yeah.
I have a question about this movie. Okay, let's get into it. Cher is this co-star.
Yeah.
And then a man with, I would say, the highest vowel to consonant ratio of a last name of anyone we've had on this podcast before, Danny Aiello.
Aiello.
I think you pronounce that L.
No, he's Italian. Everyone in this movie is Italian.
Yeah, they say lasagna, not yazanzia. Like, they still use L's.
Yeah, but the double L is yeah.
In Italian?
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Well, this is Spanish, but Guillermo as a...
Oh, so not Italian then. Wonderful.
Well, I mean, Spanish and Italian pretty much work the same way, don't they?
That's not how... No, because if they did, they'd be the same. And also,
pretty much the
same. You're telling me his last name is Aiello?
Aiello.
it's an onomatopoeia. It's a sound. Like, hang on. I don't believe that. Straight up, I don't believe that. And I don't know that I believe this L thing you're talking about. I'm not an expert on that.
Not Danny Aiello.
So Danny Aiello is in Moonstruck.
That's true.
Okay, this is something I struggle with a lot when trying to describe what kind of movie a movie is. What kind of movie is this?
I think it's a romantic comedy.
Hmm. Is it a black comedy too?
No.
I ask. I don't know what that means.
Because the humor's not dark enough. It's just like, this is your everyday humor.
Huh. But it's also not like very, sometimes it's not overt humor either. Like it's
maybe
not.
Maybe it's just a very dry humor.
Yeah, that was the part the word comedy did not leap to mind when describing this movie, but it also is, it's not a drama. I was having a hard time. I couldn't think of the word to describe it. And I was like, God, there's probably some word I don't know about.
I would say it's a comedy. A romance, if you don't find it funny, I guess.
It's not that I didn't find it funny. It's that that doesn't
feel... It
didn't
present as a comedy.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like the right word. And I was like, I wonder if there's another one. And I was like, God, Quinn's going to say it's a black comedy or dark comedy. But I didn't really know what that was. I mean, I know what that is, but not really. Because the last time you told me what you described one of those, I think it was it was Wiener Dog. I was like, well, this is a black comedy.
Well, that's because like the humor is very like associated with like taboo subjects and like death and stuff like that. That's not what this deals with.
Okay.
That's more what black humor is, black comedy.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, this is more like it's a subtle comedy. Is that the word?
It's a Hollywood movie. It's a studio romance, we'll call it.
What kind of movie is this? It's a studio romance. Oh, sign me up. Give me two of it. All right. One of my favorite things about the movie is the location, the setting. It is for the time of the movie, not particularly important. It just like In Cold Blood, it now presents as cooler than it did at the time. At the time, it was just contemporary New York City. But now, seeing old, like old from to
seeing
like,
New York how it was in the 80s.
Yeah, it's cool. The cars are cooler. The places are cooler. I don't know if there's still a bakery that operates like that. I hope there is. Oh, there's a bakery where the people are down in the basement underneath the building cooking directly. I don't know where that chimney's going. I want to know real bad. But Nick Cage, is down there in the dungeon, like, cooking. I'm like, I hope there's still a place where, like, literally there's a dude down in the basement cooking the bread. But that part was really cool. I thought that was neat. And I like the neighborhood. The, like, very, I guess it's, is it Little Italy?
I don't know if it's supposed to be in Little Italy or like Brooklyn.
I wasn't sure because every character in the movie was Italian. That's why I thought that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Big Italy. I guess that's Italy.
Yeah.
But there's so many Little Italy. Anyway, itsy bitsy Italy. Welcome to tiny Italy. I liked the very insular nature of of the like the neighborhood they're in. I loved the old man having his like his very it's like the poker club, but they stood around a grave and talked. I thought all those like all these little bits of the like of the world that we were in were very cool, and I liked all that stuff. Now I have a question about Nicolas Cage's accent. It's there sometimes, and then other times it is not there. And my question is, when it was not there, where did it go? I guess that's my question.
Maybe that's just his voice. He slips into it. He's Italian.
He is. That's what's ironic. He was more convincing with his accent in Raising Arizona, I think.
Where he played a
Westerner. Well, I believe that was intentional with the Coens, was they wanted to pick a place that didn't have a hyper specific accent, so that you could believe that whatever accent they were doing was an Arizona accent. That was the idea of like, right. If they went to Georgia, we'd be like, that's not Georgia, or North Carolina or something like that. Where instead they were like, well, we know they like talk different. We assume they talk different out here, but like you can't put your finger on it. But it reared its head right away during what I would say is the craziest scene of this movie, which is the one where I started asking Rachel, I don't know what this movie is. Like, I got thrown for a little bit of a loop. All right, we start out with Cher and Danny Aiello, and there's a very funny scene where she forces him to get down on a knee. He inexplicably gets down on both knees and proposes to her in like, they're obviously, like, their favorite restaurant, where my man Bobo works. Bobo's the best. Shout out to Bobo. He's the waiter. They have this bizarre, like, modern, but also, like, I guess, like old-style relationship and romance, where they're on a date, it's in the modern era, they're older, they're not like high school sweethearts, and they know each other well enough to propose to each other and maybe want to get married, but they also still talk to each other in a way that is, like,
like, there's still a little bit of a distance between them.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. So he's flying back to, we'll set the movie up a tiny bit. Danny is flying back to his dying mother back in Italy, which is also to, like, really put you in the place of, like these are Italian New Yorkers, not just New Yorkers.
Right.
And she forces him to propose. And then he's like, oh, I need you to call this person, it's my brother. And that's when she learns that he has a brother. And it's like, oh, so they haven't met each other's families? They don't, like, know it? Like, they don't, like... It's, like I said, it's like it's an old-style romance, but in a slightly modern world, in that, like, nowadays, no one hasn't met the other person's, like... Because you date for 15 years. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a different situation. But these are grown-ups. Like, they're not young. Like, that was my other question. How old is Cher in this movie? She has gray hair.
I think she said 37 sometime in the movie.
Okay. That's incredibly old. But...
you're what, like 36?
What's up? Anyway. and it was funny because it was like... It was, for the most part, older, unattractive Italian men... with younger, slightly younger, attractive Italian women. That was like everyone's relationship. It's like every couple they bumped into, that was the dynamic. And then Cher has to deliver this message to Danny Aiello's brother, who turns out to be Nick Cage, who then has the craziest thing in the world in this movie. She goes down to the basement. He's baking bread at the bakery. And he screams... during an altercation with her, I lost my hand, I lost my bride. And he, like, hits something in the room. And he has a half, like, wooden hand. It looked like the thing you, like, a mold of a hand you'd have to show someone how a hand could work. Kind of. Like, it was,
well,
like...
he lost half of his hand in a deli slicer.
One, I've cut my hand on a deli slicer before. I cannot fathom how you cut off your whole entire hand or any percentage of it. No,
You can lose like fingers like that with a deli slicer.
Okay, I could see how you could suffer a serious gash and perhaps lose a finger. But like he
lost like two or three fingers. That's not even like close to being out of the realm of possibility. That's realism.
Three fingers?
He looked away.
Looked away? Did he punch it? How did he lose? That is a crazy that's a crazy deli slicer.
It's not.
I was shredding lettuce one time on a deli slicer, and it nicked my finger in like the tiniest way. But also, I can't stand the sight of my own blood, so I turned green and had to sit down in the chair for like an hour.
Imagine if that had been your three fingers.
Oh, I'd be so mad about it. I'd be stuck in a dungeon baking, screaming about how I lost my hand and my bride. I also, it's funny to me that shame on the bride. She just ditched him because of his hand?
No, later we learned that he like drove her away.
Yeah, I think it was like
he sort of admits to that later on when they talk about it.
Yeah, I know, and I knew it was more than just that, but it's like sounds like he's better off because he would have lost for a different reason. Anyway, their relationship was so bizarre, but it's mainly because Nick Cage is so weird in this movie. He's like a super duper weird guy. They go back to his apartment. She makes a mistake, and he says, "What's that smell?" And she said, "I made you a steak." And I thought that was really funny and weird. One, he wasn't like, "Hey, did you cook that steak that was in my fridge?" He was like, "What's that smell?" She was like, "I made a steak, dog. Like, chill." And then a bunch of lewd things happened. You didn't mention this is a blue movie.
No, I mean, the lewd things happen, but they don't show it explicitly, I don't think. That's why I thought you'd be okay.
I mean, it's not pornographic, if that's even... There's not, like, we don't see two people having actual sex, but, like, it's... I would say it's the lewdest film we've watched.
More than Climax?
Oh, God. Climax, there was a lot more discussion. I'm trying to think what we actually may have... What we actually saw, even.
I thought we saw people, like, having sex naked.
I think you're right. And they, I think, were even related by blood, which is disgusting. Which is another reason I hate that
movie. I'm going to say Climax is a bluer movie. I'm going to...
That's probably true.
But right now.
I was curious to know, was this a kind of a thing at the time? Like, whoa, there's this movie Moonstruck. It's kind of got a... It's kind of lewd. Y'all should go check it out.
No, I think you're just a prudish person.
Alleged. Now, this is... There's a really there's one quote that I know Rachel was a very big fan of. So Cher lives at home with her parents. She's a divorcee, as is Danny Aiello. He's been married before, I believe.
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
And that's sort of the thing, is that Cher is like trying to maintain and wants like romance, but also like. She's 37, has been married before. So she's not like a... It's like an educated romance. Like, I know what's going on. I still want it, though. And not like romance, to be romantic. She means like some of the like more...
In the beginning, she wants more like... She just wants a husband, someone to spend like her days with. More than she wants like actual romance.
And some of the like societal pressure maybe of like not living with her parents.
Right.
And there's a dinner scene... with her parents and a family friend of some sort, and the old man of the family feeds one of those like half dozen dogs like some of the meatballs or whatever from his plate, and is it his daughter or is it his daughter-in-law? I can't recall how they're related. Like, I can't remember whose daddy is.
Daughter-in-law.
But she says, "If you feed any more of my food to those dogs, I'll kick you until you're dead."
Yeah, it's a great line.
Which is good, and then also, like, hammers home the like the intent of it too. It's not like I'm gonna stomp you until you're this, or I'm gonna, you know, stop a hole in you or any of that. It's like I'll stop it. I'm gonna stop when you're dead because it's pointless then. But I want to make sure you die, and it's from me kicking you. It's a very, very, very specific intent, like threat. But this movie is largely a bunch of Italian people figuring out the relationships, and lots of infidelity, as you said, with the prompt, because the dad, Cher's dad, is cheating on Cher's mom.
Yeah, he's like a big shot plumber.
Another thing I liked about this movie is that the idea there's a big shot plumber in town. He was like rolling around town in suits all the time, driving Cadillacs. He's a plumber, which I like, but it's funny. It's not like he's not a, you know, he's not in real estate. He's not a banker. Like, he's got like a, he's a plumber, but hey.
I mean, he owns his own business. I mean, like, that's just funny.
Yeah. It was a funny little, like, I liked that he isn't like rich and powerful. He's just in the tiny little bubble they're in, like, has some money,
yeah,
comparatively.
Right.
I was a little perplexed by, tonally, I got a little bit lost at times, like I said, with this comedy thing. Because it was funny, but it wasn't, like, overtly funny. And then, okay, so the scene, we had the big, like, holy smokes, when Danny Aiello comes back early from his mother not dying and comes to the house. Holy smokes, his brother is there. Wait, what is he doing here? And we realize, and like everyone's like, oh, snap, she's leaving him for his brother. They're all finding out at the same time in front of each other. And then the Nicolas Cage proposes. But it's played kind of straight. Like, there's no like, oh my God. And like, there's not like any like kind of hijinks or like any like, there's, it's not really loud. It's like kind of a quiet.
I think, but them playing it straight is funny.
Right, but then it also maybe for a second, you, if you're me, you might be like, wait, is this not funny? Is this like, is this like serious? Like, no one's crying. Like, no one's mad. Like, but it wasn't like, if that, like, I think in a, maybe a, like a slightly more comedic version, like, there, like, someone's asking loudly what's going on. And like they're brothers? And then like there's the, and like the old people are playing a game of telephone around the table or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, and maybe that's corny, I don't know. But I would have like,
sounds corny.
Well, I mean, that's why I didn't write it. But the point is, there's an interesting like tone to the movie, and my question was about whomever directed it, is that their thing? Are like they the guy who like, is this like by a, like a known maker of like, you know, subtle romantic comedies? Is that, you know what I mean?
I think the other two famous movies by this director are, accessing my memory palace, In the Heat of the Night and Fiddler on the Roof. So,
what?
I don't know if there's like a trend you can divinate from that, but those are the other two movies he's famous for directing. Long career this guy had. Norman Jewison, one of the most famous Canadian directors.
What's his last name?
Jewison?
I mean, that's a funny last name. How do you get that name? Like, Johnson came about because like someone was named John and they had a son. And they named their son like Bill, right? And someone's like, oh, that's Bill, John's son, right? That's how they got that name. How does it happen? Well, your last name is Jewison. Following the same, like, you know what I mean?
See, I tried to search Jewison as like a surname, but
I don't even feel good saying it. I got to be honest.
it just leads me to his Wikipedia page.
Well, anyhow.
The name of ancient Norman origin.
Norman? Are those a people, the Norms?
Alternatively, the name could have derived from the French jouet, which means play, sport, fun.
Hey, sports.
yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about names of people from different countries. I don't know how.
I'm probably going to cut all of it out. I'm just kidding, just half.
But I was curious if that was like the thing. If it's like, okay, I've never actually seen a Woody Allen movie, I'll be honest. But I know that he has like a thing he does in all of them, right?
Right.
Or like a style or whatever. And I was like, oh, is this like a, maybe this is the first of them and this was a huge hit and he's made a bunch of movies in this vein, or is this an influential movie obviously there are movies that are probably, you know, like this, where someone's like, oh, it's kind of like a, it's like a Moonstruck for the new generation. Do you know what I mean?
Gotcha. I don't think he did more of these types of movies. I could be wrong about that.
Is this considered an influential movie? Stylist, like, of the...
I mean, I, people talk about it all the time. I think it's like a... As much as an 80s movie can be a classic, I think it is one.
Rachel told me that she had never seen it, but she knew of a famous scene from it, which is the slapping scene.
Oh, where the professor gets slapped before doing something?
No, when Nicolas Cage, I think he says, "I love you," and she slaps him.
Oh, yes.
And then he says, "I love you" again, and she slaps him, I think, even harder the second time. And like Rachel was like, I'm aware of that scene in this movie. So that's what I was at, like trying to get at when it was like, is it influential? I was like, oh, is this like a, okay.
I mean, if you're talking about other things that have done that, I think it kind of reminds me of like Shakespeare comedies. It's like Much Ado About Nothing and stuff like that. That's the most similar thing I can think of.
Yeah. When did the rom-com, when was that invented? Like, when did that term, when did it become a thing, and they started intentionally making romantic comedies, and where on the forefront of it is this movie?
I want to say they were popular in the 90s, but let me look it up.
I feel like the 90s. I feel like that's when people started saying rom-coms and stuff.
It says the first romantic comedy was in 1903. That's not what I want.
I hate that. What movie was it?
The Gay Shoe Clerk.
See, that's... I don't know what's going on with this podcast.
I think our understanding of the romantic comedy is probably built by this movie and another one or two late 80s movies like this.
That's what I was curious
sure.
about.
I agree.
Well, and then saying. If not, we should say that it is, and we came up with that theory.
Yeah.
There's an extremely long opening credit sequence.
Oh, When Harry Met Sally. That's what it is. 1989.
That's after this.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's within 2 years.
I know. I'm saying this one beat it. Wait, When Harry Met Sally. Is that Woody Allen?
No, that's... that's Rob Reiner.
Huh.
I think Annie Hall, which was in 77, that is Woody Allen.
That is
and
Woody
that
Allen.
Like that's like way ahead of Moonstruck, but it's like a similar type of thing, I think. Anyway,
did you find Nicolas Cage and Danny Aiello believable as brothers?
Yes.
Okay. I had a hard time with that. Physically, and then they were just so different, so bizarre.
Well, they haven't seen each other in like 5 years. What can happen in 5 years?
Not as much as can happen in the previous 35, but that's okay. all right, so
well, they both looked Italian, so that basically,
hey,
related enough for a movie, anyway.
I found it interesting. I loved the little bubble, the enclave of Little Bitty Italy, and the little quirks that added kind of to everything, and the fact that like the movie isn't going to be as funny or interesting if the two brothers are strangers to everyone. But instead, they're not, because everyone kind of knows everyone. Like, it isn't so crazy if they're like, hey, my daughter's dating someone, and I think maybe, in fact, instead she likes his brother, neither of whom have we ever met or know about. But instead, it's kind of like, I think he works at the so-and-so bakery. I've been, you know what I mean? Like, there's like a little connection to everything. But I was left sort of, I guess, I don't want to say confused. But I think maybe I need my... I think I have to... I guess I'm getting into verdict territory here. What did you think I would love about it? I forgot to ask you that. We're supposed to do that.
I thought you would love primary Nick Cage, obviously. I thought you would love his performance. I thought you would think it's funny. It's a very funny movie to me. There's some great lines. I like that it was a romantic comedy, but wasn't like super like cheesy or like cringy or anything like that. And I thought you might enjoy like a human story, like presented by a rom-com type thing, but not have it have like a rom-com sort of feel. Those are the things I thought you'd like about it. You'd love about it, even.
Okay. Well, I gotta be honest, I think I'm ready for the verdict. I think it's time for verdict time. I thought it was fine. I thought it was all right. Like you said, there were some funny lines. It took me a while to figure out it was supposed to be funny, I'll be honest. there was a while when I was
That's
like,
never good.
I think Danny Aiello might be the, like, what is this dude? Like, I didn't realize I was supposed to, like, I was like, this guy's whack. Like, not that he was, like, kind of clueless and a goofball, but I was like, what's wrong with this guy? And maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the fact that his mom was dying and he was kind of out of his mind. But I liked, like I said, I liked the neighborhood. I kind of liked all the people.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But
I felt
bad.
For,
I didn't like enough of. I felt like the mom got a bad situation, and I would have. I don't know. That was annoying, I guess, because I thought the dad was whack.
I forgot to say earlier when I was listing the things that I thought you'd love about it, but I, thinking back to when you loved those two characters from Uncut Gems, I thought there was a lot of characters like that in this that you would really love.
Yeah, I liked like the girl who works at the bakery after Nick Cage like wigs. I lost my hand. I lost my bride, and like smashed or something, and then he like storms upstairs or whatever, which is funny because he presents like, "Hey, don't talk to me. I don't even have 1 second to talk to you. I'm busy baking bread." But yet he can like stop everything to like rant and disappear, but whatever. and she like bursts into tears and is like, "I'm in love with him, and he'll never know it," or something like that. And I was like, I do like the idea of this girl who works at the bakery in Little Italy, and her like the love of her life is downstairs, mono-handed making bread forever, and neither one of them are ever going to talk about it ever. Some of that stuff was interesting, but it was kind of, it felt long. I don't know if it was long. I didn't look at the runtime. And though I generally like it when it's a bunch of people just sitting around talking, it somehow I like lost the thread a little bit of some of the like the importance of some of the things. Like once the like, honestly, I guess part of it might be the biggest thing that happens so quickly, which is she getting together with Nick Cage. I keep saying Nick Cave. Shout out to Nick Cave also.
He's in movies.
Oh yeah, he's been in the movie we've already talked about, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Oh, that's right.
He was a troubadour. Because that happened so quickly, it's almost like, whoa, this crazy thing happened. And I guess, like, we'll just hang out with these people for a little while. and that's fine. And it was fine. But I didn't love it because of that. But there were some good lines, like you said, and there's some funny stuff. And I thought it looked cool. And the people in it were pretty cool. And I liked the mom. She was cool.
Another thing I like about it is that it sort of deals with, like, people's relationship to superstition.
There's a lot of talk about that.
Where, like, they don't really believe a lot of these things, but they sort of do. Like, in the very beginning, when that old lady is putting a curse on the plane, and, mm-hmm. like, she has Cher has a talk with her, and, like, neither of them believe in curses, but then, like, you see her, like do like a prayer in her head or like bite her lip or something. And it's clear that like, she kind of believes that the plane is cursed.
What's like, hey,
she cursed it.
It's kind of like, hey, it's worth a shot. Like,
yeah.
What's it going to cost me?
And I like the idea that this movie presents, that maybe like the kind of fate people believe in isn't necessarily like a real thing, but like, it's also not completely in our control either.
Yeah, or that the idea that it thinking about it is what makes it like, it isn't so much whether or not you actually have quote unquote bad luck, it's that you think you have bad luck,
right?
That idea, I have a wonderful GIF I'll send you. It's very popular in boxing meme world. Of during one of Manny Pacquiao's fights, his mother is in the crowd, very literally and visibly hexing his opponent. She has she has like a rosary wrapped around her hands, and she has her eyes closed, and she is like sending the gnarliest hex to, like, she is cursing his opponent while he's in the ring getting ready to fight her son. It is like, it's wonderful. I think he won his fights because of his talent and indomitable will, but I don't think his mother's hexes hurt, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
But it's also funny because she's not even trying to pretend. She's got like both fingers pointed at him, and she has the rosary wrapped around her hand. Her eyes are closed. It's really good. Anyhow, so that was my thought. I thought it was fine. I like a lot of stuff about it. I also, because of the I know it has some, not, I don't want to say supernatural because of the moon stuff, but like, I thought, I was for a while worried that like someone was going to be a poltergeist or something.
No.
Or something like
it's
that.
Low key.
I was thrilled that that did not happen.
Not thrilled enough that you love it though. That's interesting.
I was thrilled that it wasn't, that would have made it awful. So I was thrilled that I didn't hate it, I guess. But anyway, yeah. Moonstruck, 1980 something, 87
or 88. So Al, I hope we covered that to your liking. Since it's your favorite movie, I think they commented on.
Yeah, it seems extremely unlikely. I don't think if a movie is anyone's favorite movie, and we don't love it, it's going to be covered to their preference, myself included. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't love it.
Hey man, that's why we have a voicemail, 334. I love it, and an email inbox. loveitorhateitpod@gmail.com. Al, drop us a line.
Yeah, Al, I really am curious to know why it's your favorite. Favorite is like,
that's a step beyond.
Usually there's something when it comes to favorite. I think a lot of times there's an occasion when you saw it first or something like that. So I'm curious to know
about it.
Yeah, something about it. Now, do you know what the most recent film that Nicolas Cage has made is called?
I think Color Out of Space.
Well, I'm cheating a little bit because this movie is in post-production, but it's titled Pig.
Pig.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's got some projects in the works. He's probably going to have a big year.
And there's another one called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, and he plays Nick Cage.
He has a new Netflix series where he talks about the history of curse words.
Oh, boy.
So if you want to watch that, check that out. It's on Netflix. Moonstruck's on... it's not anything you have to rent. Anyway, Home Alone 4.
So the prompt was infidelity. I think there's some unspoken infidelity, and then some legally there's definitely infidelity legally.
Because they haven't formally divorced.
Correct. They're still technically married, and I gotta believe that there was something going on to cause that initial rift. If you're asking me.
I mean, whatever gets you to assign Home Alone 4, I guess.
I think there was some. Sticky bandits. I don't know what's going on. I'm just saying the parents didn't split up for no reason. And he's immediately with this heiress. Come on. But hey, we love a good Christmas movie. It's Home Alone 4.
In mid-January. The Ides of January. You know, actually, I think you're setting it up like I was going to hate the shit out of this movie. But I think you're going to be surprised about what I feel of it, because the whole time I was like,
wow, this stuff is so cool. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is such cool stuff.
That's awful. Also, that is a quote I wrote down. This stuff is so cool. Oh my gosh. This is such cool stuff. They just took the words from the first sentence and changed the order around and had him say it again. This stuff is so cool. This is such cool stuff.
I was talking about it with Emily.
Man, that's cool stuff.
And she said they definitely just had him like improvise.
Talking about that with who?
Emily.
Ah.
Emily had to sit through it.
2-time loser in the awards this year, I believe.
Yeah. Nominee for both guest and voicemail of the year.
Always a bridesmaid of her bride, Emily. Sorry to hear that. Like Christina Ricci.
Oh, no, she won Guest of the Year, I thought.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, because Will lost.
Emily, congratulations on your Leo.
Apologies. Sorry, we'll send that. We get there's a bit of a mix-up.
Yep. I will say I did promise an actual Leo to voicemail of the year winner, Leona, in that I said, half jokingly, where should I send the trophy? And she said, wait, is there an actual trophy? And I was like, well, might as well. So I was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, I don't know, to my house. I was like,
good a place as any.
Where else would I? So you thought this was a cool movie with cool stuff in it?
No, I'm kidding. It's total trash. I wrote here that it's the cinematic equivalent of a skid mark.
Oh boy. Yuck.
Not a good movie.
Well, a skid mark, I think there might be some hope. You're like, maybe I'm all right.
When are you like that?
I'll be honest, I haven't had a skid mark, but like they're popular in lore.
What do you think a skid mark is?
What do I think it is? Is it up for debate?
Not a tire.
I know that.
Okay.
The idea being that someone's like, okay, I'm in the mind of like a troglodyte.
Oh, someone, and they're someone like, okay,
I ripped a Mondo toot earlier, but let me hope
that it was
no hope against hope. I'm clean.
Oh, okay.
They hope they're clean. They drop their tidy whities. They're disappointed. Yet another Mondo skid mark, and they throw in the pile of skid marked underwear they've already got. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, this is a clean, fun podcast for kids. No potty humor. One thing I think I know you loved about this movie,
mm-hmm,
is the credits.
Okay. There are a couple of things to like about this movie. And I think the credits are good. I think the other good thing,
for the listener, it's title card and then straight into the movie.
Bingo, bango, bongo, right to it. Why fool around with anything else? Now, Moonstruck had a crazy long credit sequence. It was only kind of cool because it was showing, to me, old New York. But I remember thinking, like, if you're watching this in the theaters, you're like, yeah, I've seen outside before. Start the movie. Like, get on with it. But what did you think of his cool stuff? That was such cool stuff. I was worried you'd be like, this is like, look at all this 90s stuff, and think it was cool.
Yeah, I want to play Fortnite on that. His little like setup. I don't get it though, because it's one screen and then it's like a border of the same screen showing the same stuff.
And he, so like,
I don't
know, spins how helpful in a circle that is, looking at it all.
I think it's just supposed to look expensive. That's the point of it.
Did it pull at your heartstrings at all?
My heartstrings?
Yes.
They were untouched.
What about when I think he's laying down in bed and they say something about Christmas and he says, like, but there's no dad. Something like that. Like, no dad this year. Something like that. And it made me laugh out loud. Instead, it's supposed to be really sad.
No.
What did you think about how applicable the title of the film was to the movie?
Taking Back the House?
Well, Home Alone, and yet it's... I said, I guess Home with Three People is too long of a title.
Yeah, he's not even home alone in this movie.
I don't think he's ever by himself.
Home Alone 3 had at least the decency, like, they were out on an errand.
Yeah.
So you're home alone, I guess. Not home alone like Home Alone 2 or Home Alone.
Yeah, you're not stranded. 1. You're not stuck. But in this one, there's like someone with him at all times.
Yeah. I mean, he's always with the butler.
Mm-hmm. I made a guess and I was wrong. Very early in the film, I said, dad is in the mafia, calling it now.
Cold shot.
I was wrong. He was not in the mafia. He like
works. Swing and a miss.
And like event planning or something. Now here's what I did not call, and I did not know about this movie until we watched it. And I'm curious if you knew about this. That this was Kevin McAllister.
Yeah. You didn't realize that when you watched it?
No. Before we watched it, I just thought it was like Home Alone 3, where it's like just another kid.
No, because they're taking back the house. They're taking back the name of Kevin McAllister and doing a new movie.
Here's what I'll say the things I thought you would hate about this movie, Quentin. I thought you would hate... There was one performance in particular that I knew you would hate. I thought you would hate...
This fucking dumbass kid.
I thought you would hate the gags, the pranks this time around, of which there are few. And I thought you would hate the general stupidity of the film. That's what I thought you would hate about it. I like, you know, to give you an idea. I thought
I think the best way to go about this is to compare it to Home Alone 3. Because Home Alone 3 I hated, and they had some poor choices, but I think with Home Alone 4 you're going a step further into garbage territory, where I think there's actually a few more like filmmaking mistakes rather than poor choices.
Okay, give me an example.
The actor who played Kevin's brother would look at the camera a few times after he would deliver lines.
Well, I mean, how else does he know where it is?
Like he would give he would give his line to like the character he was talking to, and then he would look to the camera and then go back to his...
like for approval, like, hey, no, you did it, buddy, good job, buddy, like a thumbs up from the director. I'll be honest, I did not notice that. That is funny. For me, so I watched this with the girls and with Rachel. Home Alone 3 did not go over well with them. Home Alone 4 was a full-on revolt.
Did they walk out?
They...
Oh, wait, no, they were like this.
No, they didn't do that. So there's they do a thing in this movie where bad things are happening to Kevin when he's at the Royals' house with all that cool stuff and his incredibly baggy pants and
such cool stuff.
And we think it's the butler, right? They like the movie wants you to think it's the butler who's like out to get him. Even when we thought the butler was the bad guy, the girls were openly siding with and rooting for the butler and rooting against Kevin. And they're like, why is he even in that room? He shouldn't be messing with that guy's stuff. Like they were like they didn't even support his like hijinks or his like rambunctiousness or his like mischief. They were like, no, Kevin, like just go back and play video. Like they were so against him, they couldn't stand him. And when they French Stewart, we gotta talk about French Stewart.
He plays Marv. And I think he gives a different performance than a Mr. Daniel Stern.
I think he honestly, they named him Marv, and he accidentally tried to play Harry.
I think you're right. I was trying to put my finger on what he was doing because he had a Midwestern accent, and I don't remember Marv having that.
No,
in the original two movies.
Rachel pointed out very accurately. He is dressed like Harry. He has like Harry's beanie on. Like he looks more like Harry than Marv. But his name is Marv. They keep calling him Marv, even though he is not the same character at all. But he has, like, I guess French Stewart always squints. That's his thing?
Probably.
Is his name French?
Yeah, his name's French.
His first name is French.
His first name's French.
Can that be a name? I know we're getting into weird territory with names in this episode, especially with the director of that last movie, but, like,
French people's names are, like, Francois, and that's French for French, I think.
I mean, is this a Yahoo Serious situation, or is his name is French Stewart?
I'm pretty sure it's an adopted name, but it's still his name.
Okay, I found it. His first name is Milton.
Aha. It's a hyphenated last name.
Mm-hmm. So it's not his first
French
name.
French Stewart.
Then. Which makes perfect sense. If you told me his name was Milton French, I wouldn't even question it.
Well, his name's actually Milton French Stewart, so.
Well, my point is French is not a first name. That's okay. He's French Stewart. He absolutely hilariously bricks in this movie. He is the worst actor in the world. That was the number one thing I thought you would hate. I thought French Stewart was going to be the big problem. It turns out maybe it was that it was Kevin.
It was a combination. I couldn't tell if he was doing Harry or if he was doing that guy from Pulp Fiction, the guy Tim Roth plays, because he was saying like pumpkin a lot for some reason.
Oh, whoa. I didn't even think about that.
Anywho's. Yeah, the kid who plays Kevin makes Alex from Home Alone 3 look like Macaulay Culkin.
Makes him look like Macaulay Culkin. Is that kid famous for anything else like the other kid was? Because like Alex was somebody else.
No, I think he was in this and like a short film the same year and then never did movies again. But I have an update about him at the end.
Oh, interesting. This movie has one thing, however, that is different than all the others. It has a twist. What did you think of the twist?
Most boring twist in the world. You don't even care about the twist when it happens.
The girls cared. They also were like, it made them like mad also.
It was like a hack.
Well, yeah. And it was like, they were so mad that it was the same characters like that really like bothered, like upset, like made them so mad that it was like, that they were attempting to tell us that it was Kevin McAllister. And then we learned that the maid is the bad guy. Dun, dun, dun. And on top of it, she is Marv's mom. This is Mrs. Wet Bandit. But then this opens up so many plot holes of, wouldn't the dad be like, oh my God, it's Marv? And also Kevin would be like, oh my God, it's Marv again.
That's what he did say.
He does, but like not in the right way. Not in the way that you would do it if you were really Kevin McAllister.
The thing I don't like about this kid is that he like does a bunch of obnoxious stuff and then doesn't have any of like the charm of Macaulay Culkin. He sort of like is like scared kind of, but like also he like doesn't even have charm like within the movie. Like the people around him don't find him charming like they do in Home Alone 1 and 2.
Yeah, they just have the same name. And that's it.
Do you want me to go in further?
He's also younger?
I think he's supposed to be a year older, but that doesn't make sense to me.
What do you think about the gags?
The gags?
Like, because instead of, I mean...
Oh, yeah, how he fucking breaks the house by turning something on.
He turns the shower on.
You have bad appliances. Well, that's your house's design. You over-designed your house.
The shower, he did turn it on to like rip someone's skin off speed, and like,
oh, there's a door. Hold on, let me find this in my notes.
Oh, the where you can see the door that blocks the water.
No. There's a like a seat like when French Stewart, aka Marv. And his girlfriend are in the house, and he Kevin traps him behind
the spinning bookcase.
The spinning bookcase, like spin faster Sesame, yep. Maximum speed Sesame.
Yeah, I wrote that down. It goes like a million miles an hour.
It turns it into a damn gravitron.
It's like that. Man, shout out to the gravitron. You ever done it?
I've not.
What? You got to do it. But yeah, he spins that stupid bookcase like a million miles an hour. All the pranks are just having like a fancy house and him making them malfunction. That's all it is. He doesn't like do anything.
He makes them malfunction by using them. Like there has to be a setting for them to do that in order for them to do that. He's not like hacking the mainframe.
I'll say the internet was called BS on the power of that shower. And also the fact that it didn't like... That he left it.
It floods the whole house like 6 inches.
Yeah, it's
there's
like
no fucking way.
It's like a hurricane. What did you think of the ending with the parents?
No feeling. What did the girls think about it?
That part I don't think they really cared too much about. One thing that happened is I think the dad is like, wait, Natalie is. Yeah, he turns to Natalie's the heiress, right? The, like rich lady.
I think her name's Katie.
Oh, is Natalie the mom?
I think maybe.
I wrote it down, but the dad turned and said, okay, here goes, Natalie. And Wheezy piped in, I hate you, as to finish his sentence for him. Here's what's interesting about the ending, though, I tell you. So this movie, they had hoped it was going to turn into a TV show.
Huh.
Like, this was going to do so well, they would spin it off into a TV show. And with that in mind, the original ending was written so the parents did not get back together. And instead, the mom... So the dad stays with the rich lady. And the mom marries a cop who is Marv's, like, honest brother. I don't know why any of that would happen, but that was the original ending.
It's a bad idea for a show. Yeah, take a Christmas movie and make it into a show that goes on for the entire year.
Do you know where this movie was filmed?
ABC. What?
You know where this movie was filmed?
I have no idea.
South Africa.
I mean, I know it was on a soundstage somewhere. I didn't know it was...
South Africa?
In Cape... what's it called? Cape Town?
I don't know where. I can't believe they gave Johan his own burg. Oh, I wanted you to add, that sounds cool, that the British kid said. I wanted that on the soundboard. That was one of my notes I took.
What British? Oh, that sounds cool?
Yeah, when the royal shows up, he says, that sounds cool. And I was like, that would be good for the soundboard. Should have told you that at the time. Is there anything
did you
liked?
Like Katie? I thought you might like Katie.
Is Katie the rich lady?
The rich lady, yeah.
I thought she was going to turn out to be the villain like the whole time.
Well, she sort of was.
Well, like...
She was mean, but she wasn't like...
I thought it was going to turn out it was a plot and like she didn't actually like the dad and it was like some ulterior motive. Like, I she struck me as like almost the bad guy the entire time and said she was just kind of a jerk, I guess. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Like a Tim Curry level bad guy, if you're comparing it to Homeland 2.
Yeah.
But the reason I thought you'd like her is because she says something that I think you have, you might agree with.
Okay.
I don't understand people who watch movies over and over again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't.
They're fun.
You know what's going to happen. You know what they're going to say. And to be clear with that, that holds
for
like...
Wait, hold on. I think I might have a recording of me watching a movie for the second time.
Wow! This stuff is so cool! Oh my gosh! This is such cool stuff!
That is such a funny... You know, Emily must be right. Because no one writes it. Okay, this stuff is so cool. You know, I love the way stuff and cool sound. Like, if we just flip it, like, what if we just said cool stuff and stuff is cool? Cool stuff. Like, no one writes that. It couldn't have been written. I like that the bad guys parked their van, like, within viewing distance of every window of the home. Like, it was almost in the front yard. I thought that was really good. Is there anything you liked?
Was there anything I liked? No.
See, I had some brief moments where
Shut
it
up.
Was... No, not for me, for you.
Okay.
It was so bad. I was worried you'd be like that you would say, like, you know, when watching this, especially if you watch it with other people, I was worried you'd say, like, you know, I watched it with Austin and Emily, and honestly, it was so bad that we had fun watching it.
Austin avoided.
So I was worried that due to how bad it was... there would have been fun in the process, and it would therefore, not that it's so bad it's good, like, it isn't, but it is so bad that you could be almost left dumbstruck by how bad it is.
It does enter that territory, but I don't think I'd rush to watch it again by any means. It's not like The Room level, but there's some things in that I think are like such bad choices for a movie.
I don't understand why the woman was with Kevin's dad.
Yeah, like
some younger, more attractive rich woman wants this like divorcee who's like still technically married. Like, what's up?
Yeah,
who's got like these mad, annoying kids.
Speaking of things that are like laughably bad, the transitions between scenes really got a use of that pinwheel effect.
That's the one where
it goes like it wipes like in a clockwise motion.
Yeah.
There's also like a zigzag wipe and then a regular wipe as well.
That's how you avoid skid marks. Is use lots of wipes. I watched this movie, like I said, with Rachel and the girls, which should have made it more fun, but it did not make it more fun. It made it worse.
I don't think you can watch this with someone without them saying to you, why are you watching this?
Yeah, they didn't like it. Before we get to your verdict, I'm going to give you their verdicts. I hate this movie. 0 stars. That was Tula. I hate this movie very much. Let's see here. This is the worst movie. 0 stars. Then -5. Then, I believe Wheezy chimed in with -1,000,000.
Classic kid stuff.
Instead of Home Alone 4, I would call it something else, Tula said. What? I asked. Trash, Tula said. I believe that ended their official reviews. And before you give your verdict, I have a couple of bits of info that might be interesting to you. Did you know that the director of this movie died after this? This is the last movie he made before he died.
Did you make anything else of note?
I don't believe so, no. But this is definitely the last one before he died.
That's sad.
This is a quote of something I saw on IMDb listed in the trivia. This is the entire thing. Macaulay Culkin was less than impressed with this film.
I can imagine so.
43 people found that helpful.
Out of how many, or does it say?
I think it was 43 out of 50, I want to say.
It's pretty helpful.
Now, I did find a couple of reviews. There's a lot of reviews of this movie. A lot of people talk about how awful and truly terrible it is. But I wanted to find some that weren't 1 stars or 10 stars that were jokes. One person said, quote, "It's only a little sweet and mildly entertaining. Otherwise, it's one of the worst films ever made. 4 out of 10 stars. I don't know what you have to do to get a 1 then, if this makes it almost one of the worst films ever made.
I feel like some people, like, they're the low end of their rating system is like a 4 out of 10. You gotta meet that 1.
Well, that just means they're rating things 1 to 5 and that's a 1. But whatever. I did
that's
find one saying. One person, I didn't write that down because it was a very long review, but there was one person who gave an actual 10 out of 10, and they weren't even like, there was some that were more enthusiastic. They were clearly being ironic or kidding, but this one was like, yeah, it was pretty solid, 10 out of 10. Like, it's just straight up like, yeah, pretty good movie. Like, check it out.
Yeah, I think that one's on IMDb. It's like, wait, hold on. The director didn't die until 2016.
Yeah.
I think he stopped making. I think it ended his career.
Well, look, True or False is the last movie he made before he died.
True.
Yep. Ended his career. All right. Killed him.
It killed him very slowly. Yeah, I think that review was on IMDb because it was like, it should be called something different, but it's a pretty good movie. 9 out of 10 stars.
Yeah. One person said, "I don't like the actors changing. Marv is other. Kevin too. Why?"
I wonder if the YouTube has any good reviews of the movie. There's two.
And well, also there's one person who I don't know where BGHS is. I don't know what high school that is. Bowling Green High School, we can guess. But Austin Farias, who's in 10th grade and Bowling Green High School, says that Home Alone 4 is boring at the beginning, but it gets greater as it goes. And as it goes on, his aunt is the bad guy. Her friends are the are their mom, but he doesn't know it until the end. His parents leave for New York, but he takes the house. I would rate this movie 100 stars. You should watch this. Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. And then he signed it, Austin Fair, his 10th grade BGHS. No spoiler alert.
Grade.
He literally, in the first sentence, gives away the entire twist. But also in such a confusing way, you maybe don't know. It gets better. It's boring in the beginning. It gets greater as it goes on. His aunt is the bad guy. Her friends are their mom, but he doesn't know it until the end. I love that he just straight up spoiled everything and put it in the review. 10 out of 10. Excuse me, 5 out of 5. You said you had some information about the actor, the lead actor, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. So I found his LinkedIn.
Whoa.
He founded a company 2 years ago that is, quote, revolutionizing shared social experiences in physical spaces, end quote. So I hope that's working out for him.
So he is is a madam?
Who?
Like he is a manager of sex workers? A pimp would be the no longer in use colloquial term.
I don't think so.
Reread the description of this company.
he's revolutionizing shared social experiences in physical spaces.
Huh. Sounds like, I don't know. It doesn't sound above board to me. I thought it was. I thought it was using some funky terms to say like.
Tinder, but it's sex. That he probably isn't getting any business right now because no one's allowed to be within 6 feet of each other.
Well, that's the revolution.
I guess that's
the revolution. You thought you were going to share the space? No, that's what I revolutionized. We don't share the space anymore. I definitely thought it was some sort of thing where he's like, I'm revolutionizing people's mindset with regard to like the astral plane, and it meant he was a joke. Like I thought it was like a euphemism.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but I guess I'll give my verdict.
Go ahead and give that verdict.
I don't even want to get into the boring and horrible things I have to say about this movie. It sucks. It's so bad. It's the worst thing you've ever assigned me, by far. 1 out of 10, half a star. Did not love it. I hated it.
That's wonderful news for me. I am actually curious. This was a question I was waiting for the verdict time. Did you give me the chichung? Did you do your verdict?
Yeah, I give you a chichung.
Hated it. I was very curious to know what your actual rating would be on your Letterboxd.
So this is the first one that you've given me as a hate that I'm gonna rate a half star. So congratulations.
Is a zero star an option or no?
Zero star is not an option.
Okay, that was my big question. I couldn't foresee this getting one star, despite how cool the stuff is and there being such cool stuff. I still thought it would get a very bad review. But I was curious if it would get a whole star or just a half. Now I want to be clear. It's easy. Like we could game the system and just assign each other like truly despicable movies like this, like really poorly made ones all the time, probably. And that's not quite what happened here. I want to clarify my choice that I was not gaming the system. I had watched this movie honestly because we were watching all of the Home Alone movies over the holidays. And once I started watching it, I started taking notes. And then I was like, we did 1 and 2. And I was like, excuse me, 2 and 3, apologies. And I was like, I gotta go ahead and do this. Like, it makes too much sense. And then you gave me the prompt, Infidelity, which fit.
Kind of fit.
I feel like it fit pretty good. A lot of it, unspoken fit.
Not as good as mine, but you know.
That's true. Yours fit better. But I couldn't resist, and I will say I was worried that it would be so bad that if you were watching with other people, there'd be so much to make fun of that you would spend too much time laughing, and you would, in fact, you wouldn't say you loved it, obviously, but you might be like, honestly, that was so much fun that I can't say I hated it, even though it was like a terrible movie. So I'm glad I did get my point, though. Where are we at in the standings now?
In the standings?
Do we start fresh?
No, we don't start fresh.
Oh, wow.
It rolls over. With that, we are tied 12 to 12.
Love to hear that.
But maybe the guest standings might change next week because we got to figure out what's on tap for next week.
That's the best part.
That's our favorite guy. He's pressing our favorite soda tap, and he's giving us our favorite soda, which is actually what the movies are for next week, because it's what's on tap for next week. Get it? It's the soda. The soda's the movies. And we're discussing which soda / movie is going to be on tap for next week.
It's the best part of the show.
Yeah.
What's your favorite soda, Quentin?
My favorite soda?
Mm-hmm. I know you don't drink a lot of soda now. I think you're soda free.
That's correct. I think.
Are you caffeine free?
No, I have caffeine every now and again, but it makes me jittery now. I used to drink a Dr. Pepper or two a day in middle school. So I guess that's my favorite soda. But I was really more of a Mr. Pibb guy, but I couldn't always get Mr. Pibb.
I'm very bummed to hear that you are, quote, really more of a Mr. Pibb guy. Walking around with Dr. Pepper in his hand. Oh, man, now people are going to think I'm a Dr. Pepper guy, but really I'm more of a Mr. Pibb guy. But how do I tell them? How do I let these people know? A good answer. It's not the correct answer. The correct answer is Wild Cherry Pepsi, but that's a good answer. Dr. Pepper.
Wild Cherry Pepsi was up there for sure.
Wild Cherry Pepsi is so good.
But that's
another
thing
Pepper's
you can't
too.
Get everywhere. Unfortch.
Cheerwine's great. And I'm trying to think of any other good soda. When I was a kid, I was head over heels for any grape item, any orange. Sun Drop out of a can exclusively is good.
Mountain Dew Code Red was the big player for sure.
Never had that
still
in my
play
life.
Now for sure, but
Shout out to Mountain Dew Code Red. What does that mean, Code Red? Not bad.
That's cherry.
Whoa,
and it's red,
so intense. All right, what's on tap
is that we have a new guest coming next week and a new movie to split the room. The movie is State and Maine, and the guest is Dave the Sphincter Schmedker.
I think we're gonna have to give. I think we'll call him. We'll have to go with Dave, and we'll have to give. We'll keep his Nice Prize Podcast alias. That'll be his separate alias. And then when he's, we'll give him the decency of calling him Dave on this much more serious podcast.
Dave S.
Voicemail of the Year nominee.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's gonna come up. I'll be honest.
Definitely going to come up.
And the movie was State and Maine or State in Maine?
State and Maine. It's on Stars if you have Stars at home. Otherwise, you'll have to rent it.
State and Maine. Now, do we ask now how the room is being split or no?
We do. I'm apparently going to love this movie and you're going to hate it.
That's the opposite of what I thought.
When he told me the movie, that's what I thought too. But I don't know anything about it. So
I've never heard of the movie. I was only saying it because I know Dave better than you do. Or I've just known him longer and he's been on the Nice Price Pod and stuff. So I thought he would aim it towards who, well, I guess maybe he is doing that. He's aiming it towards who he knows better. But I thought he would, I didn't know. But interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious
State
to see like
who, and Maine. Is
whose
it Maine
taste
like
he aligns with more?
Is it Maine like M-A-I-N-E?
State, S-T-A-T-E, and Maine, M-A-I-N.
Okay. Oh, like it's at the corner of State and Maine?
Precisely, I think.
Interesting. If I recall, Dave is a true middle of the road. Wasn't there an episode in which we had Love and Hate and he loved both movies?
Yeah, Best in Show and Wiener Dog.
That's right. Because that was the part of his voicemail, because he was calling you out for your lack of film knowledge. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I like Dave a lot. I don't know anything about this movie. Do you know anything about it? Have you heard of it?
I've not heard of it. I don't know anything about it. It's on Stars, or you rent it. And we'll see you next week with our good friend Dave.
Roll credits.